بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Respected elders, dear honored guests, dear brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. In the past few weeks, we have seen our new members of parliament take their oaths of office, and as MPs now, they have new responsibilities upon them that they did not have while as regular citizens. They have responsibilities towards their constituents, they have responsibilities towards their party leaders and the Speaker of the House. There are no MPs in the room right now, possibly a future one, but as Canadian citizens, we too have certain responsibilities upon us as well. So for example, obeying the law, taking the responsibility for ourselves and for our family members, serving on a jury, voting in elections, helping others in the community, and protecting and enjoying our heritage and our environment. So these are the responsibilities upon us as Canadian citizens. As human beings, and especially as Muslims, we have a number of responsibilities upon us as well, and especially towards others. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lays out the most important relations. So the most important relations we have with others, the ones that we need to pay special attention to, and the ones that we need to make an extra effort to fulfill their rights. Because in our lives, we interact with different types of people in different capacities, in different relationships. But there are certain ones that are extremely important, the ones that we interact with and are part of very frequently. And we need to take special care, and there's a special emphasis on maintaining those relationships and ensuring that the rights of those people are fulfilled. And the verse begins with our very first responsibility. The verse begins with the very first responsibility. So for example, when a person works at, let's say, a large corporation, there is generally a hierarchy of authority. And we know that right at the top is the leader of the corporation, the leader of the company. We have the CEO. And he or she commands the most authority. So the Quran tells us that while we have responsibilities towards a number of people, the first responsibility is towards the CEO of the universe, our Creator. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. And the responsibility is what? Is that we worship Him, and we worship Him alone, and that we do not join any partners with Him. So whether those partners are people, whether those partners are objects, other beings, other ideas, we worship Him alone, and we seek Him alone. And anything else that benefits us is simply a means of attaining His help. And the actual help and actual benefit comes only from Him. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace and blessings be upon him, asked one of his companions, Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu, do you know what Allah's rights are on his servant? What is Allah's right on his servant? So he replied, usually when the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are asked a question, and if they did not know, they didn't simply say, we don't know, they would say, Allah and His Messenger know best. So Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu responded by saying, Allah and His Messenger know best. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied that they should worship him and should not worship any others with him. So this is the right of God, of Allah and His servants, that he be worshipped alone. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is interesting, do you know what the right of the servant is on Allah if they do this? So if the servants of God, if the servants of Allah worship Him alone, then what is their right on Allah. And that is that He should not punish them. So if they worship Him and they worship Him alone, then they also have a right that they not be punished. And this is related by Imam Bukhari in his authentic collection of sayings and traditions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on in the verse. So first He talks about worshiping Him and worshiping Him alone and not ascribing any partners. Then He says, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, and do good. Be good to parents. Now what's interesting to note is that He doesn't say, you know, just fulfill the rights of your parents or serve your parents. But He says, do good. إِحْسَانًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. So this is much more broad than simply serving or fulfilling the rights of our parents. So what it means is that we are to do good. So spend on them to support them when needed. Physically serve them and support them when they require the help. Not to speak loudly or sharply to them in a way that causes disrespect. In another verse Allah says, وَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ. Don't even use the word أُفْ to them. The word "uff" is used to signify or to represent annoyance, right? So don't use any words of annoyance against your parents. And the importance of this has been highlighted in other places as well, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala joins the order to worship Him with being dutiful to parents in many places. So for example, He says, "Anishkur li wa liwalidayk." So give thanks to me and to your parents. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And your Lord has decreed that you worship none but Him and that you be dutiful to your parents. So what is the reason? Why has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put so much emphasis on our relationships with our parents? And that is because Allah made our parents the reason for our existence, for our coming into existence, and because of their innumerable sacrifices. So because of that, after the worshipping of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we must take care of our relationship with our parents. And this is actually one of the qualities of the prophets as well. This is one of the qualities of the prophets of Allah. For example, we read in Surah Maryam, in the chapter of Mary, وَبَرَّمْ بِوَالِدَيْهِ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ جَبَّارًا عَصِيًّا. And He is dutiful towards His parents, and He was not arrogant, and He was not rebellious. And this is referring to the Prophet Yahya, to the Prophet John alayhi salam. And then a few verses later, we read about Isa, about Jesus alayhi salam, where it is said, وَبَرَّمْ بِوَالِدَتِي وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْنِي جَبَّارٍ شَقِيًّا, where He is quoted as saying that He, meaning my Lord, has made me kind to my mother, and not overbearing or miserable. And we also learn from the story of the Prophet Abraham alayhi salam, that despite the fact that his father and he had major differences in their understanding of God, in their understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and who should be worshipped. And Ibrahim alayhi salam tried to preach to his father and tried to explain to him that he should not worship idols. But then, even then, despite that major difference, they were still, or he was rather, more still very respectful to his father. And whatever he said and whatever he did, went out of his goodwill and concern for his father. And then, that's not all. That verse continues, and then the next relationships come. And that is, وَبِذِي الْقُرْبَى, and those who are close to you in your relationships. So for example, your family members and your relatives. You know, oftentimes we maintain relationships with our family members, with our relatives, while they keep good relations with us. So if my uncle, if my aunt, if my cousins are good to me, I'll be good to them. But when something is said or something is done that we don't like, or if they stop meeting us, or if they get offended over something and they limit the relations with us, then we also do the same. We reciprocate with the same. And this is unfortunately very common, right? There's hardly any family that you'll find, extended family, that doesn't have some sort of problems or some sort of issues with one another or with a family member. Take a listen to what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said regarding family relations. Abdullah bin Amr radiyallahu anhu, one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, relates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the wasil, the one who maintains or keeps the ties of relationship, of relations, is not the one who merely does it out of reciprocation. So the one who actually maintains ties of relations is not the one who's just doing it because the others are also doing it. Rather, the wasil, the one who keeps the ties of relations, is the one who, when even if the relatives, or even when the relatives cut him off, yet he still maintains ties with them. So when the relatives cut off relations with him or her, that person still tries to maintain ties with them. This is the person who is the one who respects and who keeps the ties of relations. Furthermore, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, another companion, said, a man asked, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have relatives. He said, I have relatives with whom I maintain ties of relations, yet they cut off from me. So I am trying to reach out to them. I am trying to maintain my ties and good relations with them, yet they cut off from me. I treat them kindly, yet they treat me in an evil manner. And I am forbearing and I am patient with them. So I'm trying my best. I'm trying to reach out to them. I'm trying to be patient with them. Yet they behave rudely and ignorantly towards me. So I'm trying to do what is good, yet I'm not getting any of that back. And whatever response I'm getting back is very negative, if any at all. So the Prophet ﷺ said, if the situation is as you say, then it is as if you are filling their mouths with sand. So you're the one who's actually winning here. And Allah will continue to aid. Allah will continue to aid and support you as long as you continue to do what you are doing. So this should be our response. Whenever we find ourselves in a situation when someone is trying to, when someone is not helping us maintain our relations with them, and we find ourselves in a difficult situation, our response should always be positive. So the true spirit of keeping ties with relatives is to continue doing so after they cut us off. Then the verse continues and Allah says, وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ, of the orphans and the needy. The orphans and the needy have a right upon us as well. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said regarding the care of orphans, I and the one who sponsors an orphan will be like this in paradise. And he gestured with his index and his middle fingers, holding them slightly apart. So if someone takes care to sponsor an orphan, or to take care of an orphan, and to help in any way, then the Prophet ﷺ is saying that that will bring the person that close to the Prophet ﷺ in paradise. Now feeding the needy and taking care of widows is compared to fasting during the day and praying all night. Right? This is not something that most of us can do, to fast every day and to pray all night. Yet the Prophet ﷺ tells us that if we feed the needy, it is equivalent to that. And that is one of the objectives of our volunteer team. So the Islamic Society of Kingston has a volunteer team where we aim to go and help those in need. So last time we went to Martha's Table. This time we have a mission scheduled at the Partners in Mission Food Bank on June 20th. Inshallah. Anas radiallahu anhu, another companion, relates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if any Muslim plants something or sows seed from which a man, a bird, or an animal eats, it counts as a charity for him. Because, you know, so when we start a garden, so we started a garden here as well, right? So right outside the building, we have a garden, which we call the Gardens of Mercy. And the intention is that we're going to grow produce and then we'll donate it to those in need. But then one of the concerns we have is, what if the animal, because it's a rural area, right? So what if an animal comes and starts eating up, you know, all the crops, all the produce? So there's nothing to worry about. Even, ideally, we'd like to have it so that we can donate it and other human beings can benefit. But even if an animal benefits from it, a bird or a raccoon or a deer or any other animal benefits, even that will count as a form of charity for all of those who have helped in starting the garden and are taking care of it. So what we learn from this is that we need to have concern for the orphans and the needy, and we should really consider, think about sponsoring orphans. Right? This is not something that we discuss too often, too commonly, but they also have a right over us. There are children right now who need foster homes. For example, there was an article in the Toronto Star just very recently, which was actually sent to me by our very good friend of ours, Dr. Fahmi, who's moved from here now. But it was regarding a family or three children in Toronto who needed a home. And who needed a home, who were from a Muslim family, and they were looking for a family that could take them in and take care of them. So this is something that we often overlook, something we don't often talk about, but it's something that we should seriously consider and think about, because they have a right over us. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on and says, وَالْجَارِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْجَارِ الْجُنُبِ, the next door neighbor. The next door neighbor and the neighbor that is further away. So even our neighbors have rights upon us. And the commentators of the Quran have explained this in a couple of ways. So one is that the neighbor that is close, meaning the next door neighbor, and the neighbor that is further down, so maybe someone who lives a few houses away, someone who, you know, lives down the block, or they have explained that this could refer to a neighbor that is a relative and a neighbor that is not a close relative. But regardless, the commentators say that it is agreed upon that the neighbor, close or distant, related or not, regardless of faith, has the essential right to be helped and to be cared for to the best of one's ability. Our neighbors have a right upon us. It doesn't matter who the neighbor is. They all have rights upon us. And this was emphasized. The rights of the neighbors were emphasized by the angel Jibreel, Gabriel, alayhi salam, to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually emphasizes, right? Because the angel wouldn't do something on his own. And Jibreel, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Jibreel kept reminding of the neighbor's right. So Jibreel, the angel, kept reminding me of the neighbor's right until I thought that he was going to give him a share of the inheritance. That he would emphasize it so much that I thought that sooner or later what's going to happen is, you know, there's going to be a new order that when you pass away and you die, your neighbor gets a share of your inheritance. That's not what happened. But he felt that there was so much emphasis that he thought that was going to happen next. And if that wasn't enough for us to understand the rights of our neighbors, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has linked being a true believer with being good to your neighbors. And he said, by Allah, he is not a true believer. Not once, but he said it again. By Allah, he is not a true believer. By Allah, he is not a true believer. So he was said to him, and who is he, O Messenger of Allah? So the companions wondered, like, who's not a true believer? We want to be true believers. So who is he talking about? We don't want to be that person who he's talking about. So the Prophet ﷺ replied, him whose neighbor is not safe from his evil. So a person whose neighbor is not safe from his or her evil cannot be a true believer. And we have to be careful, right? Because nowadays the weather's good, and we might be having, you know, function gatherings or parties at our home, and perhaps, you know, especially with the Isha prayer being so late, we stay up late, and let's say we're sitting outside and we're talking loudly and others are trying to go to sleep perhaps, and it's hot so the windows are open, not everyone has AC. So we have to be careful about these things and make sure that our actions don't cause any harm to those who live around us. Going ahead, Allah says, وَالصَّاحِبِ بِالْجَنْبِ وَابْنِ السَّبِيلِ, and the companion at your side and the wayfarer, the traveler. And what this refers to is that everyone who is around us has a right to good company from us. So even if we are beside someone for a little while, so for example, we are traveling and we are in the check-in lineup at the airport, or we are at a checkout line at the grocery store, or maybe on the bus, right, or on the plane, all of these people who are beside us, around us, have a right to good company from us. And again, this includes everyone as equals. So regardless of faith or ethnicity, related or known or not, everyone has the right to good company. And the lowest degree of that, the scholars write that the lowest degree of that is that the person who is around us does not get any pain through word or deed of ours. So not a word of ours, not a deed of ours causes pain to the person or persons who are around us, that we don't do anything to embarrass them, to annoy them, or to trouble them. So be very careful. This is the message that we're getting from the Quran. Be careful about even those who you are around for even a little bit of time. No matter where you are. Let's say you're driving on the highway, right? And there are cars around you. They are your companions at your side when you're overtaking them or you're tailgating them, right? So be careful about these things. Don't do anything to annoy people or to cause them any type of disturbance. Some scholars have even said that distant neighbor includes your co-workers at work as well. Not the person who's immediately beside you, beside your cubicle, or beside your office, but everyone else that you share your workspace with as well. Be concerned about them. But when it comes to the travelers, because that was also one of the people who have rights upon us, you know, look out for those who might need assistance. So if you see someone, right, who has a flat tire, for example, you might want to stop and give them a hand. If you can't do that, at the very least, if you have a cell phone, you can let the authorities know. And this is what I started doing, especially when I was in Toronto, because there was a case where a man was changing his tire. He had a flat, and he didn't really think that he needed to call the cops, to call the police. So he was doing that, and because the highways are so close and tight, and there's so much traffic, somebody got distracted and ended up rear-ending him while he was changing the tire, and he lost his life. So after I heard that, I make a point, and whenever I see someone who's parked on the side of the highway and trying to change their flat, that I'll call *OPP, right, that's the number for the police, and you just report to them that we have this person, and they'll send someone who can give them some cover behind them. وَمَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ. Then Allah talks about, finally, the rights of servants and employees. So initially this was for bondsmen and bondswomen, but by extension and through the teachings of the Prophet ﷺ, we learn that this also applies, this includes servants, employees, basically anyone under our jurisdiction. So anyone who is under our jurisdiction and we are their superiors and their subordinates, they have rights over us. And that is that they must be treated well. They must be paid on time. Oftentimes we're very lacking when it comes on this. So we must treat them well. We must pay them on time. We must pay them fairly and not make them do work that is beyond their capacity. Don't overburden people. So we find sometimes we have supervisors that will keep demanding more and more and more and more from you. So your family life goes, your health starts going, but still that project is due and you need to keep working at it. Right? So this is not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us. This is not the way that Allah is telling us that we should treat those who are working for us. So be kind. And if you are a boss or a supervisor, be a kind and a compassionate boss and supervisor. At the end of this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ مَنْ كَانَ مُخْتَالًا فَخُورًا. Surely Allah does not like those who are arrogant. Allah does not like those who are proud. So think about yourself. Are you one of those who are not giving these rights to Allah, to your parents, to your relatives, to the orphans and the needy, to your neighbors, to your companions at your side, to the travelers, to your servants and your employees? Think about this. Why is it so? Why are you not living up to these rights and these responsibilities upon you? Is it because of pride? Is it because of arrogance? Is it because you think that you are better than everyone else? Is it because you think that the others don't deserve anything because of who you are and how good you are? Then here clearly Allah tells us that He does not like those who are arrogant and those who are proud. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help me, help all of us in fulfilling all of these rights and the responsibilities and the rights towards all of those who we interact with. And our parents, our relatives, our neighbors, everyone. Everyone who we come into contact with. Because verily this is what the Quran teaches us, and this is what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us. Wa akhudu ala alhamdulillah.